produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Shine on. If you know it, come on. Shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. Sing it. I heard.
I heard the voice.
That's Full Gospel Baptist Church.
Oh, to me.
Come on, Bishop.
And
text, what we're looking at is the fact that Nebuchadnezzar, who is the famous king of Babylon, was conquered most of this known world at the time. And Babylon sits at the top of the list of empires. Babylon is at the height of its power. And in doing so, Nebuchadnezzar, whenever he would conquer a territory, he would not always destroy everyone in the territory. But instead, what Nebuchadnezzar would do is he would destroy a percentage. and then carry off another percentage with him and carry them back to Babylon, and they would be held in captivity. The thing that Nebuchadnezzar did too is that Nebuchadnezzar always took the smartest, the brightest, and the youngest and put them in his service. Isn't it amazing, my brothers and my sisters, that a king back during 587, 586 BC knew that young minds could easily be used in his service. Young minds that could be able to think and be able to interpret dreams, that could be able to be intelligent, had quick minds, that he understood the advantage of being able to take control of young minds. Let me see if I can try and make that clear for us on today. So my brothers and my sisters, the enemy has not changed his tactics. But the enemy still goes after young-minded folks. He always seeks to try and take those with the minds who are younger and smarter and more progressive and more energetic and more quick to adapt. And that's the reason why that is going on in our country, in our world, in our nation, and in our city. That's the reason why so many young minds are doing the things that they're doing. Why it's young people who are carjacking at 14. Why it's young people who are doing the killing and doing the murdering at 16, 17 years of age. It's because the devil is out to take control of the young and the good-minded folks. Don't you know, my brothers and my sisters, that the young people of our generation are very easily duped because the devil has some good stuff out there. He's offering money. He's offering prestige. He's offering family. He's offering opportunity. He's offering clout. He's offering to be able to be recognized, to be appreciated, and to be loved. And the way that we are failing our young people is that we are doing the exact opposite of what the world is doing. That we don't offer them opportunity, we don't offer them love, we don't offer them a voice, we don't offer them to be able to say they're important, they're special, that they are lovely, that they are beautiful. So everything that we are not doing, the enemy is doing. But I challenge us on today, as we move into this Dr. King holiday, that you take a young person and you just tell them that God loves them, that they have greater in store for them, that they should take their minds and use them for good. Take their hands and use them for good, because it ought to be somebody in the building that can testify that if God takes your hands, if God takes your mind, if God takes your heart, that there's nothing that the world can do. There's nothing that you cannot go. There's no height that you cannot climb. But you got to invest in them, because the enemy wants them. He wants to take them down. Take away our scientists. Take away our next George Washington Carvers. Take away our educators like Booker T. Washington and Mary McLeod Bethune. And they want to take away those who are musicians. They want to take away our Duke Ellingtons. They want to take away our Ella Fitzgeralds. They want to take away all. They want to take our Marian Andersons away. Why? Because they know that there's greatness on the inside. And my brothers and my sisters, to my young people who are listening to me, is that you've got to realize that you've got greatness on you. You've got greatness in you, and let God use your hands and your mind and the greatness that's in you for good. That just because you've got the ability to count, you shouldn't be counting and knowing how to count and understand the drug game, but instead use your mind for counting, for mathematician, because truly our nation is short on good mathematicians. That if you're good at mixing and combining and doing things, then you should be using your mind for scientific exploration. That if you're good at breaking into stuff, coding and coding, use your mind to be able to build the next generation of technology-based people. I just want us to be able to use what we have for good. Here it is. Takes the best and the brightest, because he knows he can use them. What happens is the Bible says that Daniel chapter 2, they are serving in the king's court, and the king has a dream.
All right.
I had a series of dreams, but this one particular dream is standing out.
Yes, sir.
And why are the dreams important? Because throughout the Bible, people are dreaming. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, dreams are happening. Dreams happen for every, you can find it throughout the Bible. From all 66 books, you will find people who have been told, warned in dreams, who dream things, from Joseph all the way down to the Apostle Paul with his Macedonian dream and his call to come to Macedonia. Dreams have always been a part of the way in which people relate with God. Why? Because I learned something. Even in my dreams, it makes sense. Because I realize that the reason why God gives us dreams is because we're too busy not paying attention while we're awake. Your mind is too consumed with other stuff. Your hands are preoccupied. If it ain't this, it's that. If you can't jump into this, you're going to jump into that. If you can't get busy doing this, you're going to get busy doing that. And so the only time that God sometimes can reach us is if we sleep. But can I help somebody real quick? Is that my brothers and my sisters, you ought to be intentional sometimes in your life and in what you're dealing with people and individuals, that you ought to be able to take some time and be able to take some time out to hear from God. That guess what? Prayer is good, but meditation is just as good. That sometimes you just need to take about 5 to 10 minutes and just sit in the stillness and tell God, Lord, I'm not busy. Lord, I'm not moving. Because, Lord, I want to hear from you. You see, prayer is directional. That's when we talk to God. But meditation is when God talks to you. And has anybody in here ever had a good meditation time where it feels like God is just downloading so much into your spirit and telling you so much? Why? Because you shut up for a minute. Matter of fact, can I make it clear like this? Anybody ever had a chance where you so tired that the Lord just finally put you to sleep and then he just starts showing you stuff and starts revealing who your enemies are and starts showing you all this stuff because you wouldn't sit down for 5 minutes and give him just 5 minutes and he could have just given you all of that just that short amount of time, but instead he had to put you on your back, put you to where you couldn't get up? Am I talking to myself in here on today where the Lord had to be able to do that just so he can show you what he wanted for you? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it shouldn't take God all that. So, dreams happen. God wants to get something through to us. And when you sleep, he got a captive audience. So here it is. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. Bible says that he has this dream and he calls all of his sorcerers, his dream interpreters, those who he would expect to be able to understand the dream. But what's so interesting is that he does not tell them the dream. Normally, and this is what they say, normally, king, you tell us the dream and we interpret what you tell us. But the king said, no. I'm not doing this. I need you to tell me the dream and then tell me about the dream. You say you got all this power. You say you got all this know-how. You say you connected. You say you in tune with your gods. You say you in tune with the Babylonian gods. You in tune with this spirit. You in tune with that spirit. No. I need you to use that power to tell me my dream and then interpret it for me. You say, king, you're asking us to do something impossible. You're asking us to do something that we do not have the ability to do. They also say, king gets mad. He says, look here, I'm going to tell y'all one more time. If y'all can't do this, I'm going to kill you. And I'm going to kill everybody like you. Because you are no good to me. Now here's the thing. They're not lying to the king. They're telling the king the truth. We don't have that ability. So I can't be mad at them for telling the king. sisters, when you tell the truth, there are consequences. Can I just pause right there for a minute and I get right back into the text? Is that the truth brings about consequences. When people start speaking truth and start speaking their own truth, there comes a chance that you're going to have to face some consequences for it. Because guess what? People don't like the truth. How you know? I'm on social media. People lie on that every day. And guess what? People like the lies. The truth is hard. The truth is hard to hear. That's the reason why your favorite celebrities and your favorite people, they got to lie about their relationship, because they know that they say their relationship is breaking up and it's ending, then you will start thinking that your own relationship won't make it because you tied yourself to their own success. But I've come today to let somebody know that the truth will set you free. Not only that, but when you tell a higher power the truth, it comes with consequences. When you speak truth to power, there is consequences. We're talking about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., aren't we? Tomorrow is the day we celebrate his birthday. But that was a time when Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was one of the most hated men in America. When he died in 1968, he was seen as one of the 5 most hated people in America. He was an enemy of the state. Why? Because 1 year before he was assassinated on April 4th, 1967 in the Riverside Church, Dr. King stood up and denounced the war in Vietnam. But yet on tomorrow, they're going to show you the I Have a Dream speech. On tomorrow, they're going to make it seem like Dr. King was such a beloved figure. They're going to paint a picture as if Dr. King died as a martyr for the cause of black people. Oh, they're going to make us, they're going to have us, and they're going to show that same quote. There's going to be about 2 quotes they're going to show about Dr. King. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can drive out darkness. And the other one is, I've chosen to stick to love because hatred is too much of a burden to bear. But the one they won't tell you about is Dr. King saying black is beautiful. The other quote they won't tell you is when Dr. King talked about the great triumph of evil in America, when it came to economy, when it came to racism, and when it came to being warmongers. They won't play that quote. Why? Because we're in the midst of a war, racism is not dead, and yet black people are still the most unemployed people in America. What are you trying to say, my brothers and my sisters, is that they won't show the truth because they like the lie too much. Instead, what truth does is that truth puts a mirror on you and shows you who you really are. It shows you who the country really is. And that's all Dr. King was trying to do, is to be able to put a mirror to the country and show them this is who you really are. That this is the America that you were built on. Dr. King, well, it won't tell you that Dr. King said in one of his last quotes that I feel like I have integrated my people into a burning house. They won't tell you that Dr. King had a sermon supposedly in his pocket that he was going to preach on the next Sunday at Ebenezer that said why America is going to hell. Because people like lies. They don't want to hear the truth. Truth is what cost you your life. Truth is what got Jesus killed. So, his kid says, I had a dream, but you gonna tell me what it says. And if not, I'm gonna kill you and everybody else that's like you. Daniel, who is considered part of this crowd of those those who can interpret dreams, those who are sorcerers, those who have this special ability. Daniel gets wind of this message. And I love it that it's Daniel who has to interpret. Because don't you know, it's always the oppressed people who save this country. It's always oppressed people who save everybody else. What you mean, Reverend? Daniel has been brought in as a slave to the state. He is a prisoner of war. He has been taken into captivity. He is on the low totem pole. He is at the bottom. He is not a Chaldean. Just because they give you a Chaldean name does not mean that's who you are. Uh-oh. That's another sermon for another day. But he is on the low end of the totem pole. But isn't it amazing how he, who is the one who doesn't eat the king's meat, who does not eat at the king's table, he is going to be the one who is going to be able to save the life of those who don't like him. Okay, let me give you an illustration. January 6, 2021, I was here at the church, and I watched the Capitol being having the insurrection. I watched the Capitol being sieged on TV, just like y'all did. I didn't know what was really happening at the Capitol. I didn't know that the police officers were putting their lives on the line for those ravaged and for those crazy individuals. I did not know that there were Capitol police who were dying. I didn't even know how serious it was when it came to the United States representatives and the senators, that they were very close to having their lives being taken right there on that day. I didn't realize how crazy it was until after. But lo and behold, me not realizing how crazy it was that was going on after, then all of a sudden you hear stories that are happening in the Capitol. You hear stories of the Secret Service doing this, but one story that we did not lift up enough, but that was happening, that I saw, and I got a chance to see the clip, was that there was this black U.S. congresswoman who was in the middle of the siege, who was there in the floor, who was there with other compadres. She brought people together and started having prayer service right in the middle of the Capitol, right in the midst of all the turmoil, right in the midst of all of that craziness. This black woman said, look here, we're going to start praying because it's praying time. The only thing that can save us at this moment is God. And don't you know that that woman prayed and not one senator, not one U.S. congressman was hurt? Yes, there were Capitol Police officers who lost their lives, but it probably could have been worse. And isn't it amazing that it was a black woman? The women, the lowest end of the totem pole. If nobody else is disrespected in our country, it is African American women. And it's a praying black woman who lifts up to God to be able to save the life of people who cannot stand her, people who yell at her, people who would tell her to go back to Africa, people who harbor resentment towards her. She's praying for their well-being too. And what are you trying to say, Reverend? Is that I'm trying to let you know that it's always us who end up saving this nation. It's always black women who will always end up saving the day. And I've come today to let somebody know is that, yeah, they may talk bad about us, but guess what? You need us, because we know how to get a prayer through. We know how to be able to talk to God. We know how to be able to pray for your children, our children, everybody's children. It's always us. The Bible says that Daniel gets this. He's like, it's kind of impossible for me too. And I love it what the soothsayers say, because they say something. They say, no mortal man can interpret that dream or tell you what the dream is unless God walks with it. See, I love the book of Daniel because Daniel always has these challenges for God. Daniel chapter 3. Who is that God that's going to save you out of my hand? Daniel chapter 6. Daniel, I hope the God you're praying to will save you. That's I'm going to seal this up. There's nothing I can do. I just hope that God you've been talking to will save your life. And isn't it amazing how it is that they always challenge God and God always steps in and shows up. And my brothers and my sisters, that ought to be your testimony in here too, is that how many times has God stepped up for you when other folks said that you weren't going to make it, when other people said that you weren't going to be able to get through, when other people looked at you and said you were never going to be anything, but they didn't realize that God was with you, that God was walking with you, that God was talking with you. That's the reason why black folks love singing that song, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I'm his own. The joy that we share, none other can. Am I talking to myself in here? I thought I'd have more people telling me amen, because you had to experience some stuff in your life where people doubted you and thought you were never going to amount to anything, never thought you were going to come back, but look at you now. You not only came back, but you snapped back, and you're better than where you were. Is there anybody that can at least just tell God, thank you that you're still walking with me, that you're still talking with me, that I'm not wearing my drawers on my head, because what should have had me crazy, now I can shout about, now I can rejoice and tell God, thank you that he got me over.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Sorry about my usual self. I'm a little, got a little pain in my shoulder. So Daniel was like, "Yeah, I don't. Okay." And what Daniel does is he gets his boys together: Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Y'all come together. Come here. Because this thing is impossible. But the good thing is that our God specializes in the impossible. And do I have anybody here that knows that God specializes in things that are impossible? Oh, somebody tell God, thank you, then. That the Lord still specializes. And so what they do is that they have a prayer meeting. My brothers and my sisters, that's good for somebody in here today, because I told y'all last week, connect with somebody. This year, connect with somebody. Get with somebody who you know can talk to God. Get with somebody who is like-minded with you, that y'all both have someplace y'all are trying to go, that you both have something that you need God to do for your own individual families, for your own individual lives, and watch what God does, because the Bible says where two or three are gathered, touching and agreeing, God will be in the midst. And I've come today to let you know that if he's in the midst, then guess what? If he's in the midst, then everything else will take care of itself. As long as he is at the center always, and everything else is going to be fine. Yeah. How do you know that? Because in the middle of that prayer, the Bible says that God shows Daniel the dream and then shows him how to interpret the same dream. And then I love what Daniel does. Daniel does something. Daniel then gets the interpretation. He doesn't go immediately to Nebuchadnezzar, but he has a praise celebration. Why? Because the interpretation is for the king, but the interpretation is for the people who the king has heard. So when they get the interpretation, they know that it's for them. And so they can praise God, because they know that whatever is in the dream is going to impact them. And my brothers and my sisters, the reason why they praise God is because they say in their praise celebration, Daniel says that the eras and the seasons have changed. Meaning that where we are is not where we're going to always be. So you mean to tell me, Reverend, watch this, y'all, they are praising God not for where they are right now, but they're praising God for what's coming. Okay, let me say this. I always tell y'all, praise God for right now, but also praise him for what he's getting ready to do. Because you won't always be where you are. You won't always be in the same condition where you are. That's not the God that I serve. That the God I serve is one who's able to deliver you. you. And the word deliverance in the Hebrew means that God takes you from one place and brings you to another. So that means, guess what? Is that deliverance is going to happen for you. It may not happen right when you want it to happen, but I've come here to let somebody know that deliverance does happen, that you don't have to stay where you are. God will not keep you in that same condition. You know what keeps you stuck? It's you. If you let God move in and take control, he can move you from point A to point B. But you got to put it in your mind that this is not where I want to be. This is not what I always want for my life. I want God to move me in another direction. And am I talking to anybody in here today who came in here today wanting God to move you from point A to point B? Well, if you came in here ready for God to move, you ought to thank him in advance for what he's getting ready to do. Y'all wake up. Let's wake up.
Yeah.
Here it is. Fine. They praise God in heaven. Because we're not going to always be like this. Yeah. And what do you mean we're not going to always be like this? Because the dream, it's for him. Mm-hmm. But it's really for us. Yeah. And that's the thing that I love, my brothers and my sisters, is that the dream that Dr. King gave to us, that Kenyon read, it can still happen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The dream is not a fanciful dream. Yes. Everybody said Dr. King stopped dreaming and he woke up. Uh-huh. Yeah, he became a realist. But just because it's a dream deferred does not mean it's a dream denied. Uh-huh. The way the dream happens is that we have to continue to strive to fight for the dream. To where we live in a nation where we're not judged by the color of our skin, but by the content of our character. Where we continue to strive for a nation where, yes, where the sons of slave and slave owners can sit down at the table of brotherhood. But that only happens if you don't remove critical race theory from schools. If you're able to give black people, yes, what we are due indeed for reparations. If you actually try and make this country more equitable and more of a better and perfect union for all of God's children, then yes, the dream can happen. But it starts with us. It starts first and foremost this year with our voting. If we do not vote in this country, if we do not lift up our voices in this country, then all of this other stuff that we keep shouting and yelling means nothing. Then we can move to action. I trust and believe that the dream can come true. And the reason why I know the dream can come true is because what I've read in them. Let's talk about dreaming and we go home, y'all. That's it. I'm done. So, here's Daniel. He gets before the king and says, King, I got what you're looking for. He tells you this dream. The dream is about a man. You see a figure who's made of gold. He's got steel. He's got iron. He's got clay. And he's got bronze. King. You are the gold portion of the man. You are it, the head. Then after you comes another empire. And then after that comes another empire. And then after that comes another empire. And so what happens is that history will teach you that this dream actually did take place. Because after the Babylonians come this kingdom known as the Medes. And after the Medes, then comes the Persians. And after the Persians, then come known as the Greeks. Because that is the line in which it falls under. Why do you say that, Reverend? Because the book of Daniel is written during the time of when the Greeks are ruling the country, when the Greeks are ruling Judea. So Daniel is produced during that time. So what is happening is that they are listening in real time to what the writer of Daniel is trying to tell these Jews who are trying to fight the Greeks off of their backs. Is guess what? Is that Nebuchadnezzar is the goal. So you've had to endure Nebuchadnezzar. Then you're going to have to endure the Medes, which you have already endured. Then you have to endure the Persians, which you have already endured. And then you have to endure the Greeks, which you are enduring right now. And guess what happens is that this man is standing tall, he's looking good, but then all of a sudden, there's a mountain.
and a rock from the mountain crushes the man. The gold falls, the bronze falls, the iron and the clay all crumble at the rock. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, watch this. He's happy that somebody told him the dream. He's happy that he hears about the dream. Somebody has answered it. He gets it. But I don't think he really understands what that dream means. Because let me see if I can help you out, because this will help us as African-American people as moving the kingdom down. What the dream was telling Daniel and his friends is that everybody who is going to rule you is going to crumble when it comes to the rock. Okay, I thought I had five readers, right? Okay, all right. Let me see if I can go again. Okay, matter of fact, I know I got folks that listen to church music, right? You may not be a Bible reader, but you definitely listen to church music, right? So, okay, let me try it again. So, go, Babylon. Here, you got your bronze. That's your Medes. You got your Persians. And then you got your Greeks, right? Okay, we see the man, right? We see the figure, right? We see him, right? Then all of a sudden, a rock crushes the man. Okay. The rock stands tall while the empires all fall. Okay. So what are you trying to say, Reverend? Is that guess what? Okay, let me see if I can give you a song, right? There was a song that the Chicago Mass Choir had when I was growing up, and they were saying that when everything else fails, I can go to the... Okay, all right. Let me see if I can see you. On Christ the solid rock. All other ground is. Okay, and the Bible says that Christ is the tried stone. So what are you trying to say, my brothers and my sisters, is that is just letting them know that all of the empires will fall under the weight of the rock, because the rock is what's coming out of the mountain. Mountain symbolizes God, but not everything. But look at this, though, is that if the mountain symbolizes God, that means that there's a piece of God that's coming to destroy the empires. So what are you trying to say, Reverend, is that guess what, my brothers and my sisters, that same dream still lies today, because guess what? America as an empire still will fall under the weight of the rock, who is Jesus the Christ. That means, guess what? Racism will be over. Intolerance and bigotry has got to bow down. And is there anybody in here that can give God some praise? That no matter what comes and no matter what is around you, you can still count on the rock. That guess what? That the rock is Jesus. And as long as we got the rock, we will make it. As long as we got the rock, we can stand. And everybody else will bow down and have to give their sides over to the rock. Why do you know that? Because Paul said it like this, that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And do I have anybody in the building? I wish I felt like it on this morning. Is there anybody in the building on this morning that can give God some praise? That you serve the rock, and the rock is Jesus. And isn't it good to know that the rock, when you're going through a weary time, you got something that will hold you. You've got something that will sustain you. And do I have anybody in here that can give God some praise? Because the dream is not over, that I'm still dreaming when the rock will come back here. And when the rock comes, he's going to set some stuff in order. Everybody has got to give it up for the rock. And do I have anybody in here that don't mind praising the rock right now? Because church is supposed to be a preview of coming attractions. And do I have anybody in here that can give the rock some praise? Has the rock been there for you? Has the rock crushed your enemies? Has the rock made a way for you? Has the rock been there for you? Has the rock been a leaning post? Has the rock been your constant? Do you have anybody in here that don't mind celebrating and thanking God that my rock is all open up doors? Won't he heal you? Won't the rock step in for you? Say, yeah, yeah, yeah. Anybody know about the rock? One Friday, the rock went to a mountain, died on the mountain, but they messed up. Shook up the rock. The rock gave up the rock. Rock moved out the way for the rock to walk out the grave. And because the rock is, I can face tomorrow. Cause he lives. All fear is gone. Won't y'all help me close? If you know the rock will make a way, say, yeah. When everything else fails, I can go to the rock. When trouble is all around me, I can go to the rock. Anybody know?
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.